I want us to notice this morning the 18th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. Now this is the last verse that is recorded that Peter wrote. He wrote 2 epistles consisting of 8 chapters, 5 in the first epistle and 3 in the second. There's some very good and very important things that Peter wrote. But in my way of thinking, this last verse that he wrote is as important as anything else that he wrote. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning a while about growing in grace. God is deeply concerned about your spiritual growth and mine. There's a scripture in God's Word that says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And this gives us to understand that God considers us in the same way that we consider our children. And you know how concerned we are about our children doing well and keeping pace, and that they grow up normally, that they develop normally. And if that isn't the case, we get concerned about our children. We'll pray about them and we'll call on the church to pray with us about them. And if things doesn't change and they don't begin to develop and grow, we'll add some fasting with our prayers. We'll get concerned about that. That's the way we think about our children. And I wonder if God isn't deeply disappointed sometimes when he looks on us, his children, and we aren't keeping pace, we aren't developing according to schedule, we aren't growing as we should. I'm sure he gets deeply concerned about us, and no doubt deeply disappointed too sometimes. Now he said in the 4th chapter of Ephesians in verse 14, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God wants us to grow up, wants us to come to age and mature in our Christian experience. Yes. And he has a normal schedule of development for us. He said in the 5th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12, for when for the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. When for the time that you ought to be teachers. There's a normal schedule of development for people mentally and physically, and there's a normal schedule of development spiritually also that God has set out for us. He doesn't expect the newborn souls, the little children in Him, to be teachers, but He's got a time set that they ought to be teachers. And when they ought to be teachers and still have need that someone teach them again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, that's disappointing, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
That's real disappointing. And He says, ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Ought to be mature and developed now and able to teach and able to take some strong meat, but you need milk yet. That's sad, isn't it? A grown person that has to have milk yet, can't take meat. God is wanting to get the thought to you and me of spiritual development. Growth, growing up in our spiritual lives. Said, ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, I don't think that these folks just now got this way. But it just now began to show up that they were this way. If there is a retarded child comes into the world, we don't know it. We don't know the child's retarded till it comes to a time that it ought to be responding to certain things and it isn't responding to those things, and it should be developing into certain other activities and it just isn't developing. And after a while, we discover that we have a retarded child on hands. Well, he didn't just get that way. He was born that way.
Yeah.
But we just discovered it when he didn't keep pace with a regular, normal schedule of development for children mentally and physically. He just didn't grow up and mature as he should. We discover spiritually that we have retarded children on hands when they ought to be teachers, but they have need that one teach them again. Or when they ought to be bearing fruit, but they aren't bearing fruit, we discover that they're behind schedule. They didn't just now get this way. We just now discovered this. And found out that they were this way. And here they are. They ought to be teachers, but they are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And he said that with a tinge of disappointment in his voice, so to speak. God wants you and me to be attentive to the fundamentals of growing up. Now, my text says, grow in grace. It didn't say grow into grace. We don't get into grace that way. We get into the grace of God by humbling our hearts, repenting of our sins, asking God's forgiveness for our sins, and believing in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God for the forgiveness of our sins. That puts us in favor with God. We get into grace by that means. We do not grow into grace But we grow in grace after we get in grace. Then I might drop this little point as we pass this part of the lesson. And if you're striving and working and bending your efforts to growing in grace and you're not making progress, you're not growing, then it might be well to just take a little inventory and check up and see, are you really in grace? Now, it's the nature of life to grow. You can't stop it from growing. I've seen trees just growing right out through rocks and just split the rocks and grow right on. You have too. There's some life down there that can't be stopped. The life of God in the soul can't be stopped. It's going to grow. You can't grow into it, but you'll grow when you get into it. It's the very nature of life. I've related this before, but it illustrates my point now about as well as anything I can think of at this moment. About a building we bought and moved out on the campground from its old location down at Pacoima, California, for a parsonage. We got the building out there and remodeled the building and made a very livable place out of it, and Opal and I lived in it for about 20 years, I suppose. Now that building had shake siding on it. And where it had stood before, there had been a large climbing plant that had just covered the whole end, one end of that building. When the movers moved it out, they just hooked onto it and moved it out and pulled it loose from this plant and brought part of the vine along with it. When we got ready to paint the building, I got up there to pull out those vines that were sticking out past the shakes, but they wouldn't pull. I finally had to settle for just taking a sharp knife and going and cutting them just flush right down the sides of the shingles and just leaving them in there. But I was getting a lesson all the time I was doing that about growing. Now, no one could have taken those plants and drove them in behind those shingles. But they grew in there, and when they grew in there, you couldn't get them out. The matter of spiritual growth is not a matter of tiptoeing up to some kind of a standard or stretching to something or driving yourself into something, or pulling up to something. It's just a matter of growing.
Yes, amen.
We can grow into things that we can't tiptoe up to, and that we can't drive ourselves into, or pull ourselves into, but we can grow into them. And when you grow into them, it's a difficult job to pull you loose. I knew a man. His name was Trimble. You hear us mention him here quite a little bit. He lived down at Pomona, California. He was in his 50s before he ever got saved. And he was a rollicking sinner. Heavy drinker. But he got saved. And he just got saved all over. Just through and through. And sanctified too. And filled with the Holy Spirit. And that man worked hard. He was a plasterer by trade, and he worked hard. That is hard work. But he would sit up till a late hour at night studying the Scriptures, searching in the Word of God, and absorbing those things and receiving them down into his soul, and he just grew by leaps and bounds. Peter told us in 1 Peter the 2nd chapter and the 2nd verse, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Folks, if we have no appetite for God's word, there's a reason for that. Is that desire the sincere milk of the word. Have an appetite for it. There's some reason for it if we don't have an appetite for it. We're spiritually sick if we don't have an appetite for God's Word. Amen. And for the things of God. There's something the matter with us. Sometimes a person who is very ill, when the Word comes out on them, they've stopped eating. You don't expect them to last very long then. They've stopped eating. It's the same way spiritually. It's the same way with a soul. If a soul stops eating, if he stops his meditations and his reading and study of God's Word and his prayers, he stopped eating, he's not going to live very long. He won't last long that way. But desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. The soul grows up on the Word of God and prayer. And as we read and meditate and study in God's Word and pray and submit ourselves to God, we'll naturally grow.
Amen.
Oh, folks, that Word of God's good growing feed. They have feed for different animals and for chickens, little chickens. They have starter feed. When you get beyond the starter stage, they've got growing feed. And folks, I'll tell you, this Word of God and that prayer that goes along with it, that's growing feed.
Amen.
That's feeding your soul, nourishing and strengthening you in the ways of truth and righteousness. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians in verse 15, he said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. It's through the truth. If you think that it doesn't matter what you believe, my word to you this morning is that God's Word said, through the truth spoken in love, we're going to grow up into Him. Receiving the truth, opening our hearts to the truth, letting God's Word enter into our hearts. He says, the entrance of thy Word giveth life, or light, giveth light. It's when the Word enters in, when we open our heart to it, when we receive it and accept it and absorb it into our very spiritual life, that it becomes growing feed for us.
Amen.
You can read God's Word from morning till night, but unless you have an appetite for it and absorb it into your soul and into your life, you'll never grow. He said in the first Psalm, The first three verses, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, there is a prospering state and condition that you and I can get in to where we'll just prosper and grow in the things of God and become fabulously rich.
Amen.
In our souls, in spiritual and eternal things. God has it set up this way. He admonishes you and me to grow in grace, and then he tells us how to do it. He lays down certain formulas in his word for how for us to grow in grace. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 31 and 32, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed which a man took and planted in the earth, which is indeed the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs and a tree that the fowls can lodge in the branches of it. Now, I don't know how to calculate. I guess I'd need a computer to run this up, figure this out. But I wondered just how many times over that mustard seed multiplied itself in size in growing from the smallest of seed to the greatest of herbs and even a tree that the fowls of the air could lodge in the branches of it. Does that get any kind of a glorious thought to you? He's describing spiritual growth here. The growth of the kingdom of God. And it begins with just a little seed planted in the soul, a seed of truth and the seed of faith that's planted in the heart. But as we yield to that and follow that through, it begins to grow, and God waters it with His Word and warms it by His Spirit, and it begins to germinate to grow, and the blade springs up, and then it becomes an herb, and it goes on and becomes a tree that the fowls of the air can lodge in the branches of it. And folks, I think that's absolutely wonderful and glorious that God has provided a way and a means for you and me that we can grow into such an experience and such a relationship with Him that we can be a refuge for the folks around us. The fowls of the air just come and lodge in the branches of it. They find their refuge in the shade of it, in the shade of our tree. I call that great and glorious.
Amen.
But he's describing spiritual growth here. Then in verse 33, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Again, he's speaking of the expansion of truth, of the Word of God, of the experience of grace in your soul, the kingdom of God just expanding and enveloping you. Your entire being. Now, he said three measures of meal, and I don't know why he said three. We usually think of humankind as a twofold being. But here he's presented as a threefold being, three measures of meal. And in some kind of a technical sense, which I don't want you to ask me to define, I can't define it that technically, but the Bible draws a line between the soul and the spirit. And he says in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I pray God your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again he said in Hebrews the 4th chapter in verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I said a while ago, don't ask me to define that. It's a little too technical and a little too deep for me, but at least it lets me know that there are three parts. Man is a trinity, just like God's a trinity. And these elements of the kingdom of God and of the truth of God's word is put into the heart, and as we yield to it and submit to it, it just expands and expands and grows till it gets through our entire being and every phase and area of our life and affects us, soul, spirit, and body. The whole becomes leaven. Now you take a loaf of bread and they put leaven in it. Well, they'll put leaven in the whole mixture in the pan or in the vat or wherever they're doing this mixing. And it works through that whole quantity of bread dough. And it'll rise, it'll expand. But when that bread is finished and baked, you couldn't get just one little pinch off of a loaf of that bread without getting some of that leaven. It's all through that bread.
Yes, amen.
As God's kingdom expands and grows and develops in you and me, after a while, when the whole becomes leavened, they can't touch your life anywhere but what they'll get some of that leaven. Any phase of your life, any part of it, there's going to be some of that leaven in there. Some manifestations of the kingdom of God. Daniel, in describing the growth of the kingdom of God, he spoke of it as a small stone cut out of the mountain without hands, but it grew and it rolled and it smote the image that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his vision, smote it upon the feet and just dismantled the whole thing and ground it up and rolled over it and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's some development. That's some growth. Folks, I see spiritual growth just like one man said about the study of music. He said the study of music just has one end and that's the beginning. From there on, the sky's the limit. There's no ultimate to it. Just keep going as far as you care to go. Now all of this is summing up to this with me, that your spiritual growth is not so much a matter of you growing As it is, you just yielding and submitting yourselves to the elements and principles of the kingdom of God that He puts in your soul and letting them grow in you.
Amen.
And as they grow and expand, they'll crowd out everything else that's contrary to them until the whole becomes leavened. You'll just be filled with the elements and the principles of truth and of the kingdom of God in every phase and area of your life. Well, this all sounds wonderful and great, but God has some formulas laid down in His Word for us to go by to attain this. In the 4th chapter of Malachi, in the 2nd verse, He says, "But unto you that fear My name shall a Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And He shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall."
Yes.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Grow up like a calf of the stall. That's where they raise the stock for the stock show. The wins the prizes in the fair. They get that animal when he's little and put him up. He doesn't go out and forage on the range and run with the other cattle. They're raising a prize animal here for the stock show. And they get him, put him in the pen, and they feed him on the best of the feed. They don't go out and get an animal that's just foraging on the range out there and eating grass and all of that and bring him in and put him in the stock show. But they raise him for that.
Yeah.
Grow up as a calf in the stall. Now that's beautiful. They just feed him on the best of the feed. And God's Word said concerning you and me, He'd feed us on the best of the wheat. Just give us the best. He's growing some sheep here for show, demonstration. Going to put us out in the stock show before the world. He's developing some sheep that will be worthy to put out there. Just feed them on the best of the wheat. That's what he said. Well, you say, that's what I want. I just want to be like a stall-fed calf. I want to be a prize winner. Yeah, well, I do too. I want to be like that, but there's some strings attached to it here. He said, "Unto you that fear My name." Name in this text does not refer to the mere appellation God, G-O-D, spelled with a capital G and pronounced God. That isn't it. Fear doesn't refer to that slavish kind of fear that has torment and that makes your flesh crawl and you feel prickly all over and your hair feels like it's standing on end. That isn't the kind of fear he's talking about. He's talking about the fear, the reverence, the respect, the honor, the love to God that Christian people have. People that are born of the Spirit. And as I mentioned, name doesn't refer to the mere word God. The Bible said there are gods many, but He doesn't want us reverencing all those gods. And it speaks of the God of this world, and that's G-O-D and pronounced God too, but He doesn't want us reverencing and respecting that God. Names mean something to us because of those who have borne those names and what those who bore those names mean to us. Now, I illustrate like this. When I hear the name Maddie, I'm all ears. It gets my attention. It isn't just because it's spelled M-A-T-T-I-E and a capital M and pronounced Maddie. That isn't the thing. And they may be talking about someone that I never knew or heard tell of. We had a Maddie in the rest home down at Pacoima. She was a black woman, but a sweet saint. And the first one that died out of the home down there. Well, her name was Maddie, too. But Maddie was my mother's name. And it catches my ear every time I hear the name Maddie. And I think of the one that dandled me on her knee and bore me on her side. It comforted me. Brought me to her knee and taught me to pray. Taught me to believe in Jesus. Amen. Tucked me in bed of a night. Looked after me when I was sick. That's my mother's name. My mother has been gone now for 28 years. Will be 29 the 15th of this coming February. But it still catches my ear when I hear the name Maddie. It's because of what my mother was and what she was to me that name stays there. Well, when you speak the name God, you're speaking of someone that means a great deal to me, too.
Amen.
And that catches my attention. Yes. And what God is, what God stands for. To me, God is a complete embodiment of holiness and righteousness and truth and power and might and dominion and justice and judgment and love and mercy. He envelops and embodies all of that.
Amen.
Now he says to you that fear my name. What the name stands for, what it represents. Shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings? Folks, the soul needs healing the same as the body. And there are things that get a hold of the soul that stunt its growth and its development and hinders that soul in its spiritual progress, just like things happen to the body that stunt the growth and development physically. Now they have a disease known as infantile paralysis. And children have been attacked by that disease, and if they survived, many times it has settled in some part of their body. And maybe they grew on and developed, but that part of their body was weak. And sometimes if it settled in a leg, that part of the body just shriveled up. That leg didn't grow along with the rest of the body. We had a president like that, Mr. Roosevelt. And he was a polio victim in his childhood. And he couldn't walk without braces on his legs, and they just didn't develop like the rest of him did. Sometimes people get tuberculosis, and they just pine away and pine away. Get down to just a shadow of themselves, just skin and bones. Different things happen to people. Arthritis gets a hold of people and just twists them all out of shape till they hardly look human anymore. I've seen people like that. I'm sure you have too. But these kind of things can get a hold of people's souls too. Twist the soul all out of shape. Attitudes, feelings, dispositions, inherent natures, different things, and different kinds of attractions and worldly affections and so on can feed upon the soul till it just dwindles and dwindles and just gets down into a malnutrition state. Yes. Many people are twisted all out of shape by attitudes, wrong attitudes, bad feelings, different kind of things. But God says if we can bring ourselves around into a disposition of heart and mind to actually reverence and respect and honor God for what He is, and respect and honor the principles of holiness and righteousness and truth and justice and judgment and dominion and mercy and love and all of those things that makes God what He is, and we can actually worship that in our hearts, it'll bring us into a state and condition before God to where He, through His Spirit, can heal our souls of those things that stunt our growth and warp us and twist us out of shape and hinder us from being what God's calling on us to be. And when we get rid of the things that hinder us and that sap our vitality and that retard our growth and that holds us back when we want to go forward and holds us down when we'd like to rise, we can grow off like a calf in the stall. Just get healed of the things that's hindering us. Now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." In other words, get healed of the things that sap your appetite for God and godliness and for His Word. And then the Word of God can enter into your heart and produce a good spiritual growth and development there. That'll bless your life and make you a blessing to many souls. God wants you and me to develop into a tree that the fowls of the air can lodge in our branches, and people that are in trouble and in grief and sorrow and perplexity, discouragement, and all of those conditions that hinder the development and growth of the soul can come and lodge in our branches and find a shelter there and find the comfort and consolation and grace and help that they need there. Now, the clock's going around. I'm just getting into some interesting and important parts of spiritual growth here. So the Lord willing, I'll be back here another time, sometime, I don't know when. But God's Word lays out to you and me just how this is all done and how it produces, how God works this kind of works in our hearts and lives. Amen.